It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
One manager's buy is another man's sell.
Have you come to any conclusions yet?
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
The only reason we're here is to make catty observations and rude remarks. And there was nothing good on TV.
But even if there was something good on TV, it would be far better to listen to John Spence talk about ETFs. Now, John Spence is the web editor at ETFtrends.com. You know ETFtrends.com because, of course, Tom Lydon is on this show giving us the ETF of the week. But John runs sort of a different side of the business. It's not really the investment side. It's the blogging side. So he's not the one picking investments. But John used to be my colleague at MarketWatch, and nobody knows the ETF business any better than he does. And he looks at the ETF world in a very interesting way. And if you want more information on it, well, you can, of course, go to ETFtrends.com. But John on Twitter is at ETF Trend Watcher, and I wholeheartedly encourage you to follow him there. John Spence, welcome back to Money Life.
Hi, Chuck. Great to talk to you again.
Okay, so I've set it up that you're on the blogging side and not the investment management side, but it doesn't mean that you don't have opinions when it comes to the market and what to do right now and asset classes. You definitely have a take on the market, so what's your take right now?
Sure, I have a lot of strong opinions. There's a lot of cross currents going on in the market right now. As you know, we're flirting with those all-time highs in the S&P 500 from before the credit crisis. There's talk now of a rotation from bonds into stocks. Interest rates and treasury yields have bumped up a little bit lately, and that could be for many reasons. It could be for an improving economy, or it could also be expectations that the Federal Reserve will finally ease off the gas pedal with all of this bond buying. But it's an interesting point in markets right now.
Well, let's talk about where it is that you guys see the right kind of place to be putting your money in a market that has gotten to where, yes, record highs, which some people see as being frothy and ready to pull back, and others see as, look at the momentum and I want to get in on it.
My retirement money is invested in the house portfolio at Global Trends Investments. And if you just look at that, you know, take a step back at it, we do have some money in stocks, but I would say a higher percentage is in fixed income and especially in higher yield investments like corporate junk bonds and also emerging market bonds. One holding that I think is rather interesting, and this has been a big story in ETF, is PIMCO Total Return ETF. And as you know, this is the ETF version of Bill Gross's huge mutual fund, and it's been on the market now for just about a year. I think it'll celebrate its one-year anniversary on March 1st, and it's already managed to gather over $4 billion in assets. And how we kind of use this is it's a small slice of the overall bond side of the portfolio, but this allows us to get exposure to the expertise of Bill Gross with very low fees. The expense ratio on PIMCO Total Return ETF, the ticker's bond, is 55 basis points. You can trade it during the day. I'm not saying that you'd want to buy and sell a bond ETF during the day, but it's there if you want it, you know, that liquidity. So the thinking there is let Bill Gross handle the bond exposure. Let him be the one to buy mortgages where he has expertise and we may not necessarily have an advantage. Also, let him be the one to navigate a potentially rising rate environment.
We've seen a tremendous amount of money going into all kinds of other bond ETFs up until recently. I mean, we've just started to see money migrating out as people seem to be getting worried.
That's correct. And where you're seeing that is in the corporate bond space. So as you know, interest rates have been very low, treasury yields are very low, money market funds are yielding essentially zero. So that was a big play in 2012, investors buying corporate bonds, high-yield bonds or junk bonds, and also investment grade. That's turned around a little bit so far in the year. People are closely watching high-yield bond ETFs. There's talk that junk bonds could be in a bubble, you know, yields are at all-time lows. So we have seen some outflows from those ETFs, but if you're looking at the overall assets, a small percentage, but the it's something to pay attention to for sure.
There's been a tremendous amount of concern, not only that the market is due for some sort of a step back, but that certain segments of the market, like dividend paying stocks and what have you, where people are putting their money because they can't necessarily get the yields that they want out of their bonds, are perhaps bid up. Where are you looking at that as places that you want to allocate assets?
That's an interesting question. I think one reason for caution just in the past week or so, and we had the sell-off recently with some Federal Reserve officials expressing concern about the risks and rewards of quantitative easing, and that was, investors saw that in the release of the minutes of the last Fed meeting. But some yield sectors in the stock market were bid up to very high levels in 2012. And one of those in particular is utilities, a very stable sector, pays high dividends. Investors kind of use this as a shelter from the storm area. But just in the past couple weeks, we've seen a defensive rotation back to some of these sectors. For example, just in the past week or so, you've seen utilities and consumer staples and healthcare ETFs outperform the market. So that's sort of a red flag that investors might be moving into more defensive sectors and positioning for that pullback that we talked about.
How do you suggest that average investors play a pullback?
Right. It's a very tricky question. I mean, we're not proponents of investors going 100% to cash, jumping in and out of the market. We have more kind of a buy and hold trend following strategy. That said, if you want to play defense, I don't think you really need to get fancy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to cash. There's certain things that I wouldn't do. People talk about volatility-linked ETFs as a potential hedge. So these track VIX futures contracts. And I think some investors have been burned by these, and they don't really understand how they work because investors watch the spot VIX during the day. Again, these ETFs invest in futures contracts, so they're not going to closely track what's going on in the VIX. They sound like a good idea in terms of hedging, but you have to be careful with things like these.
When folks ask you about trying to come up with a balance in this environment, how do you do it? Because there are so many different layers. We've just been talking about stocks and bonds, but there's stocks, there's bonds, there's cap sizes, small, large, there's value versus growth, there's international, emerging markets, throw in commodities, then you get all the alternative funds and particularly a lot of new alternative ETFs. How do you put it all together?
I can talk about what we're doing. Some of the alternative ETFs that have been out lately, I'm thinking of hedge fund ETFs and some of these mergers and acquisition ETFs. I think you want to give them a little bit of time to season and really understand how they work. You know, we have a diversified portfolio. You mentioned there's several different ways to invest in stocks. Just in terms of sectors and asset classes, we like financial stocks right now, and they're held in the portfolio in terms of U.S. sectors. Also in U.S. stocks, we invest in the small cap growth sector. These are kind of trend following plays, kind of high beta, if I can use that terminology, a little riskier areas of the market. So in some of our exposures to stocks, we're in some of the riskier segments. Another area that we like in terms of equities is emerging market dividend ETFs. It provides you some diversification. You can get some pretty decent dividend yields if you look overseas, and especially in emerging markets. Dividend ETFs have been very popular, but many investors tend to focus on the ones that invest in U.S. stocks. So those are just some of the things that we're doing. We also hold gold and silver ETFs in client portfolios, some inflation protection, and also some hedging and some disaster insurance, if you will.
Now we're going to see how you feel about some of the things that my audience is doing, because it's time for Hold It or Fold It.
Play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or Fold It.
Know when to fold up.
That's right. It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, John Spence. He, of course, at one point was my colleague at MarketWatch, but today he is web editor for ETF Trends. You know the site because Tom Lydon, of course, joins us each week for the ETF of the week, but you can also go and get John's commentary there. You can also follow him on Twitter, where he is at ETF Trend Watcher, and he is truly one of the best folks watching the ETF business out there that I know. Now, hold it or fold it. That's where we put our guests to your test. Okay, we're going to start this out with a request we got from Roy in Beverly Hills, California. He wants to know about WisdomTree Emerging Markets Local Debt. It's ELD.
That would be a hold for us. We own emerging market bond ETFs in the portfolio, but not this one in particular. We own EMB, which is an iShares ETF. The one that you mentioned is ELD, which is a WisdomTree Emerging Market Bond ETF. There's a key difference between these two. The one that your reader asked about, the WisdomTree one, does not hedge its foreign currency exposure. So therefore, when the dollar is weakening, this ETF is going to perform better. The one that we own buys U.S. dollar-denominated bonds, so it doesn't have the currency risk. The one that we own is yielding over 4%, and you're seeing those kind of yields in this asset class. So pretty decent yield, especially when considering the 10-year Treasury note is yielding less than 2%. It's a way to diversify overseas in your fixed income portfolio, and this asset class has done very well. It's got a lot of interest lately from institutional investors who, again, are trying to diversify their fixed income portfolios.
That was a hold on WisdomTree Emerging Markets Local Debt, ELD.
No money changes hands today.
But with a preference, actually, for the iShares J.P. Morgan U.S. Dollar Emerging Markets Bond Fund, which is ticker symbol EMB.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Joe in Colorado Springs wants to know about the Spider Barclays Capital High Yield Bond Fund. It's JNK.
This is another one that we own in the portfolio, so it's a hold. We also own HYG, which is the iShares version of this high-yield corporate bond ETF. Both of these ETFs have 12-month yields of nearly 7%, which is very attractive in this market. This asset class was hit pretty hard in January, which may have kind of tipped you off that we could see a pullback in stocks, which we have had recently. Essentially, the Federal Reserve is forcing investors to stretch for yield. You have to keep in mind that all bond ETFs will get hurt if interest rates rise. Looking at the junk debt ETFs, one reason they're attractive right now is the corporate default rates are extremely low, although Bloomberg had a story on how Wall Street banks are churning out massive amounts of junk debt. That's something to keep an eye on. The main risk for junk bonds is not the credit risk, but the risk that all interest rates would rise, which would hit bond ETFs across the board. A lot of advisors are using high-yield bond ETFs in place of stocks. Some advisors are using these kind of as a holding spot instead of using stock ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting paid to wait with decent yields.
That's a hold on the Spider Barclays Capital High Yield Bond Fund, ticker symbol JNK.
Please proceed with extreme caution.
Dan, who did not tell us where he's from, wants to know about the J.P. Morgan Alerian MLP Index ETN, and I'm not a big fan of ETNs, but this one is ticker symbol AMJ.
This is a hold as well. We own Master Limited Partnerships in the portfolio, but we hold it through a ETF, and the ticker there is AMLP. Again, this is another yield play, 12-month yields of about 6%, although there are some tricky tax issues in this asset class, and we can spend the rest of the segment talking about it, but I'll try to keep it short and sweet. Essentially, AMLP is structured as a corporation that pays income tax, so you're paying higher tax rates on the income that's coming through. AMJ, which is an ETN, gets around this because of the way it's structured. However, AMJ is structured as an exchange-traded note, which means that you are exposed to the credit risk that J.P. Morgan, which is the issuer, could go down. AMLP has higher taxes, but you're not exposed to those credit risks.
What we've got on AMJ is a hold with conditions.
Correct.
The best way to put it?
Warning, warning, warning.
Make sure you understand what you've got with the J.P. Morgan Alerian MLP Index ETN, ticker symbol AMJ. We have two requests from Rick in York, Pennsylvania. The first one,
I love gold.
He wants to know about Market Vectors Gold Miners, GDX.
This would be a fold. Investors have just been burned too many times with gold miners. This looks like a classic value trap. You would think that gold miners would be able to make some money based on the spread of how much it costs them to dig the gold out of ground and where gold prices are. But that just hasn't been the case. These have been very poor performers. GDX is down 30% over the past year, seriously lagged gold prices. Basically, gold miners have been terrible stewards of capital. They have bad management. Their expenses are too high. They've made some really bad decisions on some acquisitions. Investors are really soured on gold miners, and they'd rather just buy gold through gold ETFs, which makes it really easy and liquid to do. Gold miners, they have to do something to get back in investors' favor. Maybe they need to start paying dividends. But if gold prices keep falling, it could be tough. You know, many investors like David Einhorn keep waiting for the quote-unquote disconnect between miners and gold prices to snap back, but so far it hasn't happened. So that's a fold.
That is a fold on the GDX.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
The Gold Miners Fund. And we've got one more request to try to squeeze in here for Rick in York, Pennsylvania. He wanted to know about the iShares S&P U.S. Preferred Stock Index, ticker symbol PFF.
That would be a hold. We own a preferred stock ETF in the portfolio. The ticker is PGF. It focuses 100% on the financial sector. This is another area similar to junk bond ETFs that advisors have been using sort of a placeholder for stocks. Preferred stocks are a hybrid security somewhere between stocks and bonds. They have higher yields, but you don't get any voting rights. PFF, the preferred ETF that we're talking about, has a yield of about 6%. Investors have really liked preferred stock ETFs such as PFF because of the good performance, very good yields, and extremely low volatility. So they've had great risk-adjusted performance. So if you combine dividends and low volatility and some decent performance, that's sort of the holy grail in this low interest rate environment.
But it's a hold and not a buy because the sector's been bid up?
Yes.
I don't want people dumping their shares.
There you go. That's a hold on the iShares S&P U.S. Preferred Stock Index ETF, ticker symbol PFF. But remember, John also liked the PGF as an alternative in that space. John Spence is the web editor for ETF Trends. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he is at ETF Trend Watcher. If you want more information, you can also go to ETFTrends.com. John, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for taking time out to join me on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Anytime.
There is just a little bit more to go on the March the 4th edition of Money Life. Stick around. I'll tell you about tomorrow's show and a little bit more when Money Life returns.